Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio. It is about 4 p.m. Mountain Time on a, well, on a somewhat, I mean, I hope it warms up. It was a dreary Friday in Colorado, and it is still quite cold here on Saturday. A little bit of snow, Rockies opening day. A little bit of snow. I think they got that game in. They got shelled. Anyways, we're not about the Rockies. That's a great podcast. I wish I had someone to throw someone out that you listen to, but I don't off the top of my head. We are way off track. Anyways, let's get to the co-host. Let's bring this thing fully back around all the way out. And I imagine a much warmer locale, South Carolina. We have Mr. Ryan Blackburn. Ryan, what's going on?
It's going well. You know, it is a warmer locale, I would say. It hasn't been really bad lately, and today's just been a pretty good day.
No snow out there in southern Carolina right now?
No, none of that 30-degree weather with the off and on snow like you guys are getting in Colorado. Though I do miss it sometimes.
Yeah, I would say, well, no baseball teams either, so what do you got to worry about?
Wow.
Also with us, I know, low blows right off the top at the Pickaxe Pundit Show. With us as well here, suffering the cold with me in Colorado, is the chief moderator of Denver Stiffs, Mark Grimaldi. Counselor, what is going on?
How's it going, everybody? Thanks for having me, and I'm gearing up for Stiffs Night Out.
There you go. Yeah, see, this is... I want to touch on this first, because I always try, and as I just told you guys, it's 4 p.m. on Saturday. That is a total lie, I'll let you know right now. It is not 4 p.m. on Saturday. It's actually Saturday morning. So this one, I try to, you know, not break the... What do actors call that? Like, through the fourth
the
wall?
The fourth wall.
Yeah, there you go. I try not to break that, but there's just no way, because the Nuggets play a massive game today against the Clippers at 1:30. We have to record before that time. The show will air after that time, so it's there's simply no way to get around this one. But yeah, like Mark said, yeah, big time Stiffs Night Out. I'm going to be down there as well. Hopefully, it'll be a good one. Everyone listening already knows what has happened, so. It's like reading a book about a character, and you know what's going to happen to the character, but they don't know. So you get to see the drama that ensues. That's how we're gonna pitch this, at least. But yeah, Mark, oh, yeah. Are you? So you're going to be down there, I take it, headed down to the Celtic on Blake Street, not on Blake Street. On.
Yep, I'll be there.
Awesome. I will be there.
And I wish I could be there. I'm right. All the way out in South Carolina. Honestly, like, this is a big deal. If you guys haven't been to a Stiffs Night Out, and if you haven't gone to the one today, then if the Nuggets do happen to make the playoffs, there will be more Stiffs Night Outs in all likelihood during the playoff games. So if they do happen to make it, then please come down, please support the team, and it would be a big deal. So
yeah, you know, I think when I think about it, so if they get into the playoffs, they'll most likely not be, I mean, there's still an outside chance they could get the 4 seed. But most likely going to end up not having home court advantage in the first round. So that would, I would think we would try and shoot for game 3 or no, game 3 would be at home. So maybe a game, we're probably not game 1 since we just did this Stiffs Night Out today. So maybe game 2, we might shoot for one, and then, or we'll see how, maybe if they win game 1, we might push it back to game 5 and get even a little more.
Hey man, depending.
I just don't want... Go
depending
ahead.
On what the Celtic wants, like I would think that, hey, game 1, let's get everybody in the building and see if we could pack the house.
That is true. I would say I would want to do game 5, but I would be worried that, like, you know, it'll be typical, like it'll be 2000s Nuggets all over again, right? They'll win that first game of the series on the road, and then they'll lose 4 in a row. And so we'll get to game five, and they'll be down 3-1, and it'll just be a major bummer. That would be my concern. We're getting ahead of ourselves, though. They still got to get into the playoffs. But, yeah, as we've been saying, man, Stiff's night out. It's always a great time. It's tons of fun. This year the Nuggets have been great. They've teamed up with us, I think, on every single one. So Rocky's been there. The Nuggets dancers have been there. This time Katie Wingy with the Nuggets herself, who she's, if you guys don't know, she's one of the, I don't know what her title would be. The host, the in-arena host?
Yeah, the in-arena host.
Right, so she was there at Sis Night Out today as well. I mean, it was just a packed house, as always. And it's always so much fun because it's all diehard Nuggets fans, which, you know, they're kind of somewhat hard to come by, full disclosure, in Denver. It's not like you run across them all the time in every bar that you go to like you would Broncos fans. So it's kind of fun to get all the diehards together because everybody's living and dying with every single basket. They're cheering, they're pounding the tables. And it's just a bunch of fun if you're into the Nuggets like we are. So, like I said, be on the lookout for that if they get into the playoffs. And if they don't, well, I don't know. We'll do one, maybe not for the draft lottery, but certainly for the draft.
Well, and this is like a win or lose, we booze scenario. I mean, if we don't make the playoffs, I'm going to be drinking, just not at this night out.
Perfect.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. We'll all go down to the Celtic to wallow in misery while we watch the Pelicans and the Timberwolves in the playoffs instead. All right, we've totally, I mean, how much time have we wasted? A good 6 minutes right off the bat. I like it. We are off to a strong start here. So we are going to get into, of course, all things Denver Nuggets. That's what we do here on the Pickaxe Pundit Show. The Nuggets, at least as far as we know at this point, are on a, four-game winning streak. Tied for the longest winning streak of the season. Could not have come at a more important time. Came entirely without Gary Harris. So I want to really talk about that winning streak and what's been the catalyst of it. And also maybe, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Coach Malone. I want to talk about what that does for him and his future, winning these four games in a row, and, you know, can they continue to keep it up? Like I said, obviously we're recording before this Clippers game. You guys have already know what happened, so we'll break down both scenario from our viewpoints, whether they were to win or lose, what that would mean, and then you guys can either laugh at our takes or wallow in misery, like I said, with us if it ends up being that they lost. And then after the break, let's break down the final two games, right? Portland, Minnesota, home against Portland at Minnesota. The kind of interesting thing, and we'll get into this about the Clippers game, is kind of no matter what, even if the Nuggets lose it, those two games, the Blazers and Timberwolves games, if they win both of those, they're still going to have a pretty solid chance of making the playoffs.
The clinching scenario is that if they win those last two games, they are in the playoffs no matter what.
No matter what. This is why I have Ryan on the show, because if you guys didn't see it, Ryan wrote a great article about all of the different playoff scenarios that could go down and how the Nuggets could get in. So check that out on DenverSifts.com. But yeah, okay, so there you go. Even if they lost this game today, those two games are still massive. Of massive importance to the Nuggets. So we will break them down and talk about those and what's going to happen. And maybe, hey, do they really need to get Gary Harris back for him, considering how they've played without him? And that will pretty much round out the show. So let's, like I said, we've already wasted 6 minutes to start off. So we can't waste any more time. We're going to go right to the meat of the discussion. This Nuggets win streak, four games in a row, winning at Milwaukee and then home against the Milwaukee Bucks in a crazy one, the Indiana Pacers, and then obviously the Minnesota Timberwolves in a massive win as well. So really, it's an impressive win streak to me. It's probably the most impressive win streak of Michael Malone's tenure because these four games is the longest they've ever had. I believe they had one other this season of the same length with him, but none more than that in his entire career with the Nuggets, considering the quality of competition, considering the stakes. Definitely the most impressive run of games that they've had during Michael Malone's tenure. Ryan, I'll go over to you first. If you could put your finger on one person or one player who's kind of been the catalyst behind this winning streak, what would you say it is?
Well, I think one of the things that's been really interesting about this streak is that Nikola Jokic, and I do believe that he's the catalyst, but Nikola Jokic has been the guy in which everything is operated around over these last four games, and they have absolutely centered the offense around him. The field goal totals have been around him. It's been really impressive to see what they've done and how much they have committed to him. And even as we have seen the last game against Minnesota, where he really, really struggled with his shot, the Nuggets kept going to him. They kept showing confidence in him, and ultimately they prevailed because they had somebody who was an alpha, and because they had somebody who the defense had to respect as the alpha, which opened up opportunities for other players.
Yeah, I would. Jokic would be part of what I would call my catalyst. I guess it would be for me. It's Jokic and Millsap together, and the way those two guys have worked and have been able to kind of figure it out. Right, we know there was a lot of clunkiness with that Jokic Millsap pairing, especially when Millsap just came back from injury, just like at the beginning of the season. They appear to have figured it out and figured out how the two of them can work together and be effective. And I think that happens to be pretty much what has been, like I said, the catalyst. But yeah, I agree. Which game was it where? I want to say it was the Indiana game, right, where Jokic pretty much just took over down the stretch. And he ends up scoring, 31 points, I think, maybe in that game. Or yep. 30. Huge game from him, and I really just noticed it was like, yeah, this is like they are leaning on him big time. They're giving him the ball every time down in crunch time, and he's coming up with big shots. That was huge, of course, against the Minnesota game. He struggled mightily in that game, shooting the ball at least, but he still comes up with the big tip in to seal it at the end of the game. I mean, you're right. We are kind of seeing him grow up before our eyes during this win streak, and it's really fun and it's exciting because that's what they need, right? They need Jokic to be. This gets thrown around all the time. They need him to be a more aggressive, right? And I don't know. It's not like he just needs to start chucking, but they need him to be the guy making the plays every time down, to want the ball every time down, and to want to be the guy who's going to make that decision. Mark, would you agree? Would you say Jokic has basically been the catalyst of this win streak?
Absolutely. I mean, I think looking game to game, when you laid out that win streak, I think obviously in Oklahoma City, he was huge. I think he had 15 or 16 rebounds, something like that. So it wasn't just his normal offensive production, but also kind of being everywhere. The Indiana game, he completely took over. I thought there was a nice kind of back and forth in Milwaukee, and then I thought he had a tough game in Minnesota, but he was still facilitating, getting the ball a lot, calling for the ball, bringing it down to the post. He, you know, almost had a triple double, really distributed well, rebounded, and then that tip at the end obviously sealed the game. So it's been nice to see that even in the Minnesota scenario where his threes aren't falling, he's still producing, and I still think he's absolutely the catalyst, but you know, running the offense and kind of being the motor of the team.
Right. Yeah, that's, I agree 100%. That's really what it's all about for him. And that's, look, it's a tough thing for the Nuggets to do, right? Jokic is, there's nobody like Jokic. There's just not. I think 538 had a great article on him that basically was about this. And you, so trying to build around someone like that is tough. Trying to figure out how to best utilize someone like that is tough. We've seen Coach Malone struggle with it. I mean, there's no other way around it. He's tried to maybe push some more traditional concepts with the team, and they struggle because that's just not how you use Jokic. And so it seems like everything seems to be coming together right now where they're figuring it out. Everybody's figuring it out. Everybody's running through him, and he's in him himself, because Jokic certainly hasn't been guilt-free in when he's had struggles, but him himself has made kind of seem to turn that corner. Really, I mean, that Minnesota game is a great way of looking at it too, because at the beginning of the season, that's a game where Jokic ends up putting 10 shots because he misses his first six, and so then he only shoots it four more times the entire game because he's hesitant. He didn't do that. You know, he came out and basically said, I'm going to keep shooting it. I'm not going to pass up open looks when I have them, even though it's not falling. And in the end, it was basically, I mean, he still ends up almost getting a triple-double, so it was definitely what the Nuggets needed. Mark, let me ask you this. Out of those four games so far, which win do you think is the biggest that the Nuggets have had?
I mean, it was a rock fight and it was ugly, but I think I have to go Minnesota just because of what was on the line. I mean, I think we could have seen a loss with Milwaukee or Indiana and Oklahoma City, and kind of felt like, well, you know, this was over a week ago. Now it's just sealing the deal. But after winning at Oklahoma City and then against Milwaukee and then against Indiana and getting, I think, the team and the fan base on board with, hey, this playoff picture is still alive, to come in and win an ugly fight where Jokic isn't having his best game against the team that we're hoping to pass to get into the playoffs, is, I mean, among other teams, I just don't think can be understated. I think that's the biggest win we've had in the Michael Malone era.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's, you know, what's interesting about that is a lot of people were saying, you know, this is the biggest home game the Nuggets have played, you know, in the Michael Malone era, essentially. And I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that, because last year's game against Oklahoma City, in terms of home games, they were saying this is the biggest home game. I mean, last year's game against Oklahoma City was, what, like the third to last game of the season as well, and it was an elimination game, just like essentially that Minnesota game was an elimination game. And the Nuggets lost that one. So I don't know if it was those two games are the same in terms of magnitude, but obviously it's much nicer because the Nuggets actually win this one. I would agree with you that one is probably their biggest win just because of the implications were on the line. I'd also, though, maybe argue that Oklahoma City game, because as you were saying, I mean, the Nuggets were down and out, right? They had just lost those back-to-back games against Philadelphia and Toronto. They were, at that point, 2-4 on their seven-game road trip. And pretty much everybody, including myself, I mean, I wrote an article last week that was kind of just basically saying, hey, I think you shouldn't fire coach, but you might have to, because what else are you going to do? You're about to miss the playoffs, and you really are stuck with the roster you have. So if you're going to make some changes, this is the only way you're going to do it. I think coach might have got a little touched by that, because he kind of subtweeted us in his post game press conference there against Milwaukee. But I guess the point being is, like, yeah, I mean, I think everybody at that point was looking at it like, okay, this is it. These guys are done. And then they come out and they win that Oklahoma City game in overtime, a game, you know, a game that maybe they would have lost earlier in the season. They come back and they get that win, and then that kind of starts this roll that they're on. So I think that one was real huge as well. Ryan, what about you? Would you probably agree with either the Minnesota or the Oklahoma City game?
Yeah, it has to be either of those two, for different reasons. The Oklahoma City game really got this run started, and they were really dead in the water, as you said, and they definitely turned it around, fought very hard in that game, ended up pulling out an overtime game on the road. Like, it can't be understated how bad the Nuggets have played overall in Chesapeake Arena. That's a really big deal. But overall, I would definitely go the Minnesota game. Nothing really was going right offensively for the Nuggets in the Minnesota game, and they just persevered. They were very persistent. They were aggressive all the time. Every possession on defense was focused, which I think is completely different from what we've seen in the past few years. The defensive effort in that game was amazing. Depends on the execution, on who you ask, but I think that they had a really good, solid game on the defensive end, and it really carried them. They were nervous offensively, and once that nervousness turns around, then they might be a little bit less stressed on that end. But overall, right, I thought that was a big step. That was a situation where they could have gave the game away, but having a veteran Paul Millsap, having Nikola Jokic to really run things through, and just making plays was a really big deal, and it totally saved their season. And so I have to give that the title of biggest win.
I would say you missed the biggest having the biggest veteran in that game, which was Devin Harris. Man, what a game from him! Right,
oh, that was what a game from Ludacris.
Right, it almost got a little too ridiculous there for a second. I was like, all right, Devin, all right, you've missed about two heat checks in a row. You probably should bring it back just a little bit.
That was amazing. The Nuggets, right, honestly, they were dead in the water at that point, and Devin just comes in. He jacks up threes off of the catch, off of the dribble, and then coming off of screens. Like, they were going in from everywhere, and he really ignited the crowd. And that was one of the things where the crowd was kind of dead in a must win playoff game, and just having those moments, having that amazing play, really put the crowd back into the game, and they were in it for the rest of the game. So that was a huge, huge deal.
Right. And I'll say, for anybody who's never been to Pepsi Center, that's kind of one of the quirks about it. It's the way it's built is it feels almost too big for a basketball arena, and it feels very cavernous, I guess, is the way you could put it. And so when momentum kind of stops, like the air just comes out of that building, and suddenly everybody's just sitting there and they're boring, and it's quiet, and the atmosphere really really kind of benefits the road team at that point. But because it feels so big and so cavernous, when that momentum gets going and the crowd starts getting loud, it suddenly becomes a crazy environment to play in, and swings heavily in favor of the home team. So yeah, that was a huge part for Harris. And what's crazy too is he bailed them out twice. It was in the first quarter they were falling behind, and he hits a three and then gets fouled while shooting a three and gets three free throws like right at the end of the quarter. And then at the end of the third quarter, that's when he just goes supernova and starts hitting every single three that they're throwing at him. I mean, that was to me, like, that was a game where you saw with him, it's like, yep, that is why you got him, because that is a veteran right there who says, no, this game is too important. We're not going to lose it. I can't put the team on my back every single night, but I can put them on my back for 5 minutes and make sure that those 5 minutes are impactful and can swing this game. And that was such a huge, huge thing for them. So, like, shout out to Devin Harris. Shout out to that pickup. Shout out to anybody who was pounding on the table to trade for him, you know, back in November. Those guys are smart.
If anybody knows Zach, this is his victory lap right now. Zach has been pounding the table for Devin Harris for not just months, but for years. He has been the perfect complement for a Jamal Murray type, where he's really solidified that bench unit. And he wasn't playing that well before this game.
He wasn't.
And all of those minutes don't matter anymore, because he came through in the biggest moment in the biggest game.
Right. I would say the funny thing is he hasn't been a massive negative since he's been here, which made it and still was an improvement on Moutier, just because the team struggled so mightily when Moutier was in and running the point. But he hadn't been good. He had just been kind of, you know, mediocre. And then to have that outburst and kind of save the Nuggets season the way he did right there in that game. Huge, huge point. Let's bring it back, though, to this win streak, and I'll go over to you, Mark. Like I said, I wrote that article last Friday saying, hey, if you're going to make changes because you're going to miss the playoffs, coach is pretty much the only change that seems obvious at this point. And as I continue to emphasize, not because I think he should be fired, just because I think with their roster, they didn't have – if you didn't have much other choices about what you could do in terms of changing things up. Now that they're going to – they'll be basically in it, unless they lose probably these two games in a row, but they'll probably be in this down into the very last game of the season. Mark, do you think that this win streak has kind of pushed Coach Malone off the hot seat and has made him safe for next season?
So, ultimately, yes. I think he's off the hot seat and he's safe. That being said, I think he was probably safe no matter what.
Right.
And I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that either way, but when we all saw the tweets and information come out that Malone and Connolly had a meeting about how missing the playoffs would obviously be a disappointment, but it wasn't the ultimate goal, and they're developing the team and something along that line, that basically this wasn't playoffs or bust like most fans thought it was. The fact that he has 1 year left on his contract and the Kroenkes are not known for overpaying or paying two coaches or going into the tax or anything like that. My thought the entire time would have been, unless something very strange or catastrophic happened where the Nuggets lost a ton of games straight and were a lottery team again. And I don't think that the hot seat was ever getting that hot. I think that ultimately Malone was going to be allowed to coach out his contract, and then maybe they let him walk after that and look for a new coach. But I didn't see the Nuggets paying two coaches and paying Malone to basically sit at home or be an assistant somewhere.
Right.
So I think that maybe this win streak, and if they can push into the playoffs, help him get a new contract. I don't think it's changing that much in the immediate time frame.
Yeah, no, I basically agree with everything right there, especially right there what you're saying at the end. I also don't think that he was going to get fired. It's a weird situation to have a lame duck coach, a coach coaching on his last year. I think the Nuggets were though prepared to do that. I think Malone was probably prepared to do that, and I'm speculating, but I'm sure those discussions happened because they at some point that the. What they're going to do with him in the future has to come up when he's heading into the last year of his contract. A lot of coaches do not like to do that, but obviously I think that discussion has probably happened. And my hunch would be that they basically said, hey, we're going to wait and see what happens before we talk about that. Now that they're so close, I think it basically really pushes him off the hot seat entirely, especially because this win streak has somewhat quieted the fans. Because, hey, let's give credit where credit's due. I think he's coached very well during this win streak. I think he's making smart substitutions. He's holding back as much as he can with those emotional timeouts and at least saving two for the final minutes of a quarter. And he's done well. And that, I think, has basically internally has put him off any hot seat. Obviously, if the Nuggets lose any game at any point, the fans will turn like they always do on this roller coaster. I do agree, though, also that I think he's basically working for an extension. I think if he gets into the playoffs, that he'll probably get an extension. It'll probably be a small one. I don't think they're going to be offering Coach any sort of 5-year extension or anything like that. But I think if he gets, you know... like you said, Mark, playoffs or bust was not the message from the organization. That goes all the way back to Media Day. That being said, if he gets into the playoffs, it's kind of hard for them to justify being like, well, we want to wait and see what happens next season. I think no matter what, you would let him coach out next year. And if they, unless it just went awful and they were like, you know, 20 games under 500 or something. But, you know, you let him coach out the season next year and you see what happens then before you make any decisions. But if he gets you into the playoffs, it's basically, you know, as has been the case with Malone every season, it's another year of, yep, this team is continuing to progress. This team is right on track. They are, this rebuilding project is going as planned. So I would say that the win streak has pretty much, I don't know if saved his job is right, but I think got him off the hot seat is probably a better way of putting it. Ryan, do you agree, or do you think there's still a chance that the Nuggets might be making a coaching change at the end of the year?
Well, I think there's always a chance. I don't think it's necessarily guaranteed that he is 100% back in the fold. I kind of differ from Jeremy in that way, that depending on what happens in the offseason or depending on what the players want, it could change in an instant. So that's kind of my thinking. I am not sure. I'm not sure what's going to go down between those guys, but we'll just have to see. If I had to peg it, I think that they offer him a 1-year extension.
Right.
So we will have to see. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I can't really call what they're going to do until we see the last 3 games of the year. For fans out there, it'll be the last 2. And if they do get into the playoffs, then I think he's pretty much safe. The real question is whether he'll get an extension or not. But yeah, we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, see, I would agree with you too. I think it's like, so basically I would assume, let's say they get into the playoffs and they get like the worst scenario of them getting in the playoffs. They get in as the 8 seed, right? They squeak in on like the last day. Maybe they even back their way in. And then they get the Rockets in the first round, they get swept. Even then, I think you see a situation where there's like, okay, we're going to give you, basically it would be a 2-year extension or even a 3-year extension, right? Which is, okay, we're going to pick up your option. Which I think they already have anyway. So, but you would play out your original contract, for next season. Then we would guarantee a season after that. And then last but not least, you would have a situation where you, where you end up giving him another team option on the year after that. So even if he ends up getting fired next year, you only have 1 season, to deal, to pay off. Like, cause like what Mark was saying, that Kroenke's aren't about to do that. tell you what, though, guys, since we went with the first half hour on just that one topic, let's go ahead and hit the break now. And then that way we can just come back. We'll basically just make it a preview. We'll talk about the Clippers game, and then we'll preview those last two games. So we are going to hit a break, and then we will be right back. We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate, and he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work. Welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I'm Zach Mikosh, DenverStiffs.com. We've got Ryan Blackburn, Mark Grimaldi, also with DenverStiffs.com here. We spent a lot of the first half of the show. nice addition there to the show, Ryan.
You're welcome.
So we spent the first half of the show doing kind of this, just wasting time for a lot of it. And then obviously we talked quite a bit about that Nuggets win streak. I'm going to kind of just lump everything in together here for the second half of the show. We're going to basically start with this Clippers game that you guys out there listening already know the result of. We don't. And then we'll get into the Blazers and Timberwolves games. As Ryan pointed out, even if the Nuggets lose to the Clippers, they still just need to win the Portland and Minnesota games, and they are into the playoffs. But let's talk about the Clippers first. So obviously, we know what losing does to them or won't do them, but Ryan, how big is a win? I mean, how important is it knowing that, hey, they can drop this game and still get in?
Well, I still think it's incredibly important for two reasons. The first one is for playoff seeding purposes. If they do plan on winning the other two, is that if they are to win the last three games and they are guaranteed to be no less than a 7 seed in the playoffs, that means they avoid Houston. Yeah. Right. And every Nuggets fan knows that avoiding Houston is probably the most important thing the Nuggets can do in a playoff seeding environment. So being at least the 7 seed and maybe even being the 6th or 5th seed, depending on what other teams do, that would be incredibly important for them.
Right.
The other reason is that momentum is a really, really important thing. And if the Nuggets falter here on the road, then it could provide a little bit of tentativeness and nervousness going into the last two games. And honestly, I'm just all about riding the wave and winning as many games as possible and letting the chips fall where they may after that.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the momentum, it's a tough time to get your momentum killed because then you're right there. I mean, that's how this end of the season has just gone for them. I mean, then you're right there playing another massive game, essentially at that point an elimination game against the Blazers just 2 nights later. So it's hard after you just take that crushing defeat, it's hard to then have to turn around immediately and get back up and go play a very good team, potentially still who could still have something to play for at that point, and then try and get them a win when you absolutely have to have it. Man, I swear, if the Nuggets, I don't even want to think about having to play the Blazers and losing to them, and that being the end of their season, that would be a rough way to have it happen. I also think just from a standpoint of mental, on the mental side of it, like eliminating the Clippers, I think is a big thing as well. Knowing, okay, they're finally, granted now there's only two games left, but finally one of these teams that we've been battling with for the past month, we don't have to worry about anymore. They're done. They can't catch us. We now just have to focus on winning these last two games. And we don't have to worry about whoever's behind us anymore. I think that would be big from a mental edge as well. Mark, what about you? What do you think would be the biggest things about getting this win against the Clippers?
I think the biggest thing, I agree with Ryan on his last point, is kind of the mental edge it would give. We've seen this team play tight sometimes in fourth quarters and just have issues with pressure, which luckily over the last four games we haven't seen. People have been playing well, especially Jamal Murray. Down the stretch when we need him. But that being said, I think if you lose to the Clippers here and just put that extra pressure on the team, I don't know how I feel about going into a game against Portland, but then especially going to Minnesota for a road game the biggest game of the season at that point to try to secure a playoff spot. If you can beat this Clippers team, I think it just gives the team confidence. It's their longest win streak of the year then. And hopefully allow them to play a little more loose and confident in the games to come. So I think it's more of just the mental aspect in this game than the actual numbers. Since, as Ryan pointed out earlier, if we win that last game, and especially if we're going to beat Portland too, we'd be in anyway. So I think this is really just about how the team feels about going forward.
Right. Yeah, and I like the point, too, about the seeding because that, let's be honest, like, I don't think any of you guys, Houston is pretty much the only team, and I'm including Golden State in this, Houston is the only team that you would think they have no shot against, right, whatsoever. Like, even if you get the Warriors without Steph Curry, a team who the Nuggets, who have typically played well against regardless, it's going to be tough, but I think there's an outside chance, right, that they could even beat them. So getting that seeding and getting the chance to play somebody who gives them a shot is so huge and would just be so huge for the city that I think that's a big part of it as well. Ryan, I'll go back to you again on this. So if they lose, like we said, they could still obviously get in, but do you think if they lose that mentality, kind of like we've been talking about, and that loss of momentum, would that be enough to where they would end up, you know, dropping another game and end up not getting it?
I mean, it's hard to say right now. Honestly, no. I think that this team has shown a lot of resilience of late, and that they, if they do hit a speed bump, then I think it would refocus them rather than really pull them apart. However, there is always the possibility that this kind of crushes them. Like the last time the Clippers came and beat the Nuggets, it kind of crushed their spirit for a little bit. So right. I really think the Nuggets do need this game, if only because of a revenge factor, if because it could help for their playoff seeding. But just the emotional edge that it would give them in that regard, I think that's really important. And right. It's just hard to tell whether that would be what affects them.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I think one of the better things that we've seen this season, all season long, whether it's over a streak of games like this four-game winning streak, or whether it's just during some games, we've seen a team that's a lot more resilient. As you pointed out, a team that's got a lot more of a never-say-die attitude. You think about, like, last year, they went up to Portland and lost that game, and Jusuf Nurkić with the now infamous, I hope those guys have a nice summer, quote. That did not eliminate the Nuggets, but it felt like, you know, they pretty much kind of lost all their steam after that, right? I mean, here they went out and the cards were stacked against them. They have their former teammate taking shots at them, and they just didn't respond. They end up, I think, what, two games later, end up losing to Oklahoma City to finish off the season. End up a game they should have won. If you remember that one, they were up big time, and then Russell Westbrook, of course, brings the Thunder all the way back, wins it at the buzzer, and then they were done. I would like to think that this season, if they were to lose this game against LA, they would have the toughness and the mentality to think, okay, we lost that game to LA, and that really sucks, but now it's two games left, win the two, and you're in. We can do that. We can win two games. I would like to think that's how they respond. Mark, what do you think? Do you think that this would, if they lose to the Clippers, would it kind of galvanize them for those final two games, or do you think it would just take all the air out of the room and ultimately end up spelling doom for them?
I think it takes the air out of the room. I don't know if it spells doom. We'd have to see how they respond. But, I mean, like you said, last year, the team that we saw, which is for the most part the same team this year, the roster mostly returned. Losing to Portland was massive. And so if they were to lose to the Clippers today, and who knows how Malone feels after that, the team could get tight. Players obviously lose confidence in the team or themselves, maybe start to do a little hero ball, things like that. I think it could really just change the dynamic of the team for the last two games, which is not something we need. Hopefully the team going into the last two games will be coming on a 5-game win streak, which would be the longest of the season. Be confident in, you know, running the ball through Jokic and things like that, confident in the coach's substitutions, and really roll in as a cohesive unit to the last two games, which I think would be really tough to do if you play the Clippers, a team who's basically eliminated, although not mathematically out yet, and drop a game when you really should be winning.
Right, yeah, like we're saying, yeah, you have that opportunity to eliminate them right now, so to drop it, and give them hope while also taking hope away from you. That would, I would agree. I think that would take the air out of the room as well. I just don't know. Like, I don't know how they would respond. It'll be fascinating to see, if they do end up losing to LA, how they come back out and play this game or play these final two games, and what kind of energy, and focus they have. Maybe a sign of a growing moment if they do lose and then they end up coming back out and playing really well and winning those final two games. Obviously that game, the final game of the season against Minnesota, really looms large. Because here's the thing about Portland, they might have nothing to play for at that point. They're going to play the Spurs. Do they play the Spurs today or tomorrow?
I think tomorrow.
Right. And if they beat the Spurs tomorrow, they're, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but if they beat the Spurs tomorrow, they're locked into the 3 seed, right?
Yes. Right. Well, actually, so, oh, no, they need a Jazz loss in addition.
They need the Jazz
to lose. Because the Jazz currently are, let me see, they're 2 games back of Portland, and the Jazz actually have the tiebreaker, so if the Jazz win out, their last game is against Portland. So it's going to be interesting. It's one of those things that the Nuggets may not catch a break with this Lillard sitting thing. Simply because Portland may not be able to eliminate the Jazz from copping the 3 seed in time. So it really just depends on what the Blazers prioritize. They could prioritize Lillard's health going into it and just know, hey, if they do win this game against the Spurs, then they have home court advantage guaranteed. But they could, if they're looking to prioritize first round opponent,
second round opponent.
Yeah, if they think that they can win that first round series and then they really want the 3 seed so that they face Golden State, then that would be what they would do, and they would try and win against the Nuggets too. So that's going to be interesting, to say the least. All Nuggets fans can hope for right now is that Portland wins against the Spurs, and then the Jazz lose their next game, which is against
Lakers tomorrow.
Lakers, yeah, in
the
LA.
Lakers tomorrow.
Come on, so, LA nightlife.
Yeah, the Lakers have had an opportunity to help the Nuggets out last night, but they couldn't do it. So yeah, hopefully they can. We'll just have to
Lakers,
see.
They've provided no help whatsoever. They're the wild card in this, right? Because they can't get in. Obviously, they're eliminated from the playoffs. They also have no draft pick in the upcoming draft, so it's not like tanking does them anything. So they're just playing to play at this point. You would hope that they've been playing. The Nuggets obviously are done playing the Lakers. We all remember how the Nuggets lost their final game against L.A. And you were kind of hoping, okay, that they would then at this point, because they were playing a lot of these Western Conference playoff teams, you're hoping they would kind of help the Nuggets out and mess with other people. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. So as is always the case, the Lakers are terrible in every aspect and no help whatsoever. But we could still hope. There's still one time. Yeah, screw the Lakers. They still have that one last game against the Jazz that I think they could help. I think otherwise they're pretty much well, that's about all we can ask out of the Lakers team.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm fully on board with the fact that the Nuggets are going to get Damian Lillard now in their game against kind of the most important game of the season. So we'll just have to see what happens and how they respond to that.
I do think the only wrinkle there is Lillard's health. Because if I'm Portland and I'm sitting there knowing I'm locked into either the 3 or 4 seed and I'm going to play probably either San Antonio or the Pelicans, obviously I think any team would prefer to play the Pelicans just because I think the Spurs scare everyone in the playoffs and Pop scares everyone in the playoffs. But that being said, they don't have Kawhi. Maybe Portland says that Damian's health is more important and they're going to rest him and go into the playoffs healthy and strong instead of trying to push to control seeding that much. But I agree. If I was betting, I think we have to hope for the Lakers again, which isn't much of a hope.
Exactly. The other interesting thing about the Blazers, too, is that they can control their own destiny even if they were to lose, I think, to the Nuggets, right? They're most likely
because
they're going to get the Jazz as the last game. So, like, they could, if they beat the Spurs, then maybe they rest and keep Lillard resting against the Nuggets and say, okay, we're going to just hopefully get Damian back a couple days later against the Jazz. We win that game, we get the 3 seed, and we're good to go.
Having him come play at altitude isn't necessarily the greatest thing for his health. The Nuggets really Lillard has really dominated the Jazz in their matchups. Like, if you guys remember last year going down the stretch, he had that 60-point game or whatever it was against the Jazz that really helped keep the Blazers ahead of the Nuggets in that playoff race. So if he still has success against the Jazz and they feel like maybe it's better, maybe he still does play against the Nuggets, but if they get down like 15 or 20, or if the Nuggets come out firing, then they might do an in-game rest where they actually rest him during the second half.
Right. Yep. There's a lot of scenarios. Let's get into it. I mean, I was going to ask for you guys' predictions on the Clippers game, but we're starting to come up short on time anyways, and it's either going to just make us look dumb or make us look smart, and we don't. Nobody cares either way. Let's do this, though.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares how dumb or smart we are. They all just assume we're really dumb, which is fine. But let's get into this. I guess let me go over to you, Mark. The Portland game and the Minnesota game. Assuming either way that the Nuggets really need to win both of those games, which one are you more concerned about them getting the victory?
Minnesota.
Right.
If I'm reading the schedule right, and I've basically just been listening to Ryan and reading his articles on Denver Stiffs, it seems like the Minnesota game controls our destiny more than anything else. But also, it's just on the road. It's travel. It's the last game of the season. It's a game that I think both teams are going to be very hyped up for. It seemed like both Minnesota and Denver were a little sloppy in the game they just played, and I think it is those nerves and the playoff nerves coming up, and I can only think that's going to be amplified in the last game. And when you get into a sloppy game like that where people aren't executing as well as we're used to, it can really go either way, and I think that adds just variance to the outcome. And so
right.
I the Portland game is huge. I would love to see us beat Nurkic. And would hate to lose a home game, our last home game, when we're trying to get into the playoffs. But that being said, Minnesota on the road with Jimmy Butler back scares me.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's got to be that Minnesota game because, like you said, there's a chance that Portland's resting people at that point. Even if they're not, you're at home. There's a ton of revenge factor there because it's like, all right, even though Portland's in, we are not going to let them basically, for all intents and purposes, eliminate us again. from the playoffs. So you know the Nuggets will be motivated for that. You know they'll be motivated to take it to Nurkic as sort of a way to get him back. There's also a chance if the Blazers are looking at it, and they, especially if they have that three seed, if they have the three seed locked up, there's probably a very good chance that they're gonna play basically nobody, and they're gonna give you nothing, because they're gonna probably think there's a good chance we might see this Nuggets team 1 week later for seven games in a row. We're gonna give them the most vanilla film possible on today's game, and basically just play nothing but scrubs against these guys. That wouldn't surprise me as well. Whereas Minnesota, there's almost like no way around it. They're going to be playing that game. The only way they're not playing that game of high importance is if the Nuggets drop the games against the Clippers and the Blazers and are basically out of it. Even at that point, Minnesota is probably playing for seeding still. So that game they are going to be hyped for. That game is going to be huge. They just lost a game against the Nuggets, where they probably somewhat justifiably feel like they were given the raw end of the whistle. Obviously I'm a Nuggets homer, but even watching that game, I was like, man, that was a tough whistle that Minnesota got, especially down the stretch there. There's going to be a lot of hype there. It's a road game, which is obviously something the Nuggets have struggled with this year. To me, it's got to be that Minnesota game. Ryan, would you agree? And if so, how important, with Minnesota getting back Jimmy Butler, how important is it for the Nuggets to maybe get back Gary Harris for that game?
Well, first of all, the Timberwolves have not been to the playoffs in 14 years. They have the longest drought in the NBA. That's going to be a home game for them. They're going to be hyped up, guaranteed, because right now they have Memphis as their next game. So pretty clearly they probably are not going to drop that game. But even if they do drop that game, they still have the ability to tie the Nuggets going down the stretch because of how the schedules kind of align.
And they
would have the head-to-head tiebreaker if they won that last game. So that is a massive, huge game for all parties involved. And Jimmy Butler was back against the Lakers. He didn't play a ton of minutes, just 23 minutes, but he was 7 of 10 from the field.
Right.
Like, he's no rust. Like, he was 4 of 8 from the free throw line. That was the only sort of rust that you really see out of him. He only had one turnover. Like, holy cow. Excuse me. That's a big deal. If they get him back and the Nuggets get Gary Harris back, this game is going to be lit. Like, there's no other way around it. The Nuggets will have Nikola Jokic going against Karl Anthony Towns. They'll have Gary Harris and Wilson Chandler to match up against Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. It's going to be incredible to watch that game, and the intensity is going to be through the roof. It's hard to see a scenario where the Nuggets actually guarantee a playoff spot. At that point, they would need a couple of losses from, pretty sure, Oklahoma City.
Right.
But if they got those, then how cool would it be if they could just rest their guys going into the final game? I don't think that they would, but because for seeding purposes, they may try and avoid Houston. But this is looking more and more like it's possible, Nuggets fans. And I don't want to shoot my shot right now because we're broadcasting this after the release and after the LA Clippers game. So it's going to sound really crazy. I do not want to look dumb. I have had thoughts that they could go 3-0 over this stretch. And I think it's a genuine possibility. I will just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I agree. You did miss the part about Gary Harris, but that's okay. I'll pick it up.
You know, I just don't really care. Like,
I just don't.
I'm just kidding. Gary Harris is going to be an interesting factor. I think he will come back for the Portland game in all likelihood. And I don't know how much he's going to play, but that should really help the Nuggets from a spacing perspective and maybe from a perimeter defense perspective. I just hope that he's healthy. It's going to be really interesting to watch what he does and how he's moving on the court. Because from all kind of perspectives around Nuggets media, the thought is that he's still walking a little gingerly.
Right.
So if that is the case, and if he's still moving a little bit less than optimal, then Jimmy Butler has proven that he can fight through injury and that it's all in everybody else's head if he's injured. So we'll see how those guys come back from that. I still give the advantage to Denver if they have the momentum, but if they don't have the momentum, then it's much dicier.
Right. Yep. No, I agree. If they don't have the momentum, it's a lot tougher, especially then you might think about Gary Harris bringing him back, even if he's not 100%. I kind of feel like if you get the game against the Clippers, you probably don't. Here's my thing. I am not for rushing Gary Harris back and potentially doing more damage to his knee, a very important part of a player and an injury that can be devastating. Like, I'm not in favor of rushing him back just and doing more damage to the knee just to get swept or get knocked out in the first round. Like, he would help, obviously. Right? I mean, he's a good player, but at the same time, like, I mean, if you've been playing well without him, like, I would rather just see them let him rest and try and get him back for the playoffs. And if you don't make it, so be it. And just kind of see where you're going. That's where I would be. Mark, I'll give you the last thought of the show on it. What do you think? Let me ask you this, I guess, to back on that. Do you think they should bring Gary back, even if he's not 100%, for maybe one of these one or two final games, or just let him rest and let the chips fall where they may?
So I couldn't agree with you more that I think rushing him back would be the worst idea. I mean, let's be realistic. We're all hoping to see the playoffs. We're all hoping to see the players, the young players, get that experience. But the chances of the Nuggets getting out of the first round are almost slim to none. I mean, if we could manage to win these three games, like Ryan said, and push up above the sixth seed, then I think we're talking about a scenario where the Nuggets could move on. But even against an injured Golden State, I would just be hoping to win a couple games, look good on national TV, and really just get the experience for the players. But they're not going to win, more than likely. And so to rush Gary Harris back for that scenario and possibly re-injure him or aggravate the injury or make it so he's not healthy or he's not the Gary Harris we've come to know and love next season – I just think would be a huge, huge mistake. I think they need to prioritize the future over getting kicked out in the first round.
Right. Yep. I'm with you 100% on that. All right. So I guess that we are pretty much out of time. Mark, you're at Marcus Grimaldi, right? But you're never on Twitter. I believe that's the story.
Yeah, at Marcus Blam, but I haven't tweeted since last time I told everyone that, so again, no worries.
Still catch him in the comments section. Ryan is, you're at NBA Blackburn.
That's correct. Right.
It was so much easier when that's you were right. Ryan Blackburn on Twitter. Ryan's at NBA Blackburn. Always check him out. Ryan's always got tons of great stuff, great content, great tweets. I'm at Zach Mikosh, at Denver Stiffs. At NBN-Radio. We're on Instagram at The Denver Stiffs. We're obviously on Facebook. Give us a follow. Make sure to give us a like on our posts. Mark will appreciate that. Or not Mark. Mark doesn't care. He's not our social media coordinator. We've got you mixed up with Jeremy like three times on this thing. Be polite in the comments. That's what Mark cares about.
That'd be great.
Not going to happen. And then if you guys are listening to the podcast version of the show, as I say every week, why are you not listening to Nothing But Net Radio on the Dash Radio app at 4 p.m., getting us quote-unquote live? But if you are listening to the podcast version, go ahead and subscribe, leave us a rating and some comments. We would appreciate that as well. And alrighty, I think that is going to do it for us. So Mark, Ryan, appreciate you guys being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See ya.
All right, everybody. We will, it'll either be post-mortem or preview in the playoffs, one of the two, but we will talk to you next week.